Sometimes it's funny how words change their meanings over time. For example, when I was in junior high and high school, this would be back in the late 70s, early 80s, the word burnout was used for someone that smoked pot, right? They were a whole subcategory, the burnouts. Others use that same term, burnout, whenever someone burned rubber by squealing their tires on their car. Now burnout has a totally different connotation. According to the APA Dictionary of Psychology, burnout is now defined as physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion, accompanied by decreased motivation, lowered performance, and negative attitudes towards oneself and others. It results from performing at a high level until stress and tension, especially from extreme and prolonged physical or mental exertion or an overburdening workload, take their toll. That's what burnout means today. And it happens across the board in the workplace. One study last year discovered that 44% of the over 1,400 employees that were surveyed felt burned out at work. 45% felt emotionally drained from their work. 51% said they were used up by the end of their workday. One of the top fields where they find this to be true is in the healthcare field. And they even coined a special phrase for those in the healthcare industry that are suffering these symptoms. They call it compassion fatigue. And compassion fatigue is not exactly the same as burnout, but they share a lot of the same similarities. Some define caregiver burnout as a gradual state of exhaustion due to prolonged care giving stress, while compassion fatigue is defined as a sudden response to the emotional strain of caring for someone in distress. Both of these conditions lead to negative feelings and health issues, but they can vary in how they come about and how they display themselves. But this idea of burnout as a caregiver, it happens when you devote a majority of your time, energy, and resources taking care of someone else to the point that you neglect, forget, or aren't able to take care of yourself. Not caring for your own physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs will have an adverse effect on your ability to help others, even to carry out your own personal responsibilities. Compassion fatigue or burnout occurs when a caregiver takes on the emotional stress and trauma of a person within their care. You say, well, isn't that what empathy is? Not exactly. This is taking it a little too far. Another occupation where caregiver burnout or compassion fatigue is on the rise is in the ministry. Just last year, there was a study by the Hartford Institute for Religion Research about the health of America's churches and those who serve, particularly in this post-COVID-19 era. The survey was entitled, "I'm Exhausted All the Time," and it documented the growing number of ministers in America who are burned out. The percentage of those who considered leaving their present congregations, 44%. Think of that. 4 out of 10 pastors are ready to turn in a resignation and walk away. Even higher are those who are considering leaving ministry altogether. And that's 53%. Over half of those who have devoted their lives to Christian ministry are ready to quit. Why? because a lot of them are burned out. And I'm not talking about the state of their tires or something they're smoking. And I think part of that comes into this overreach, you might say, of empathy. It's what I'm calling the dilemma of empathy. We're going to conclude our series this morning on the subject. We've got to be careful that we don't take the idea of empathy too far to where we wear ourselves out and then we're not able to help anybody else and we're frankly not much good for ourselves. I want to begin with just a review of the practice of empathy. We are called to practice empathy with others. As we heard earlier from Galatians 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens. Share each other's troubles. And in so doing, we fulfill the law of Christ." What is the law of Christ? I know some of you are thinking, wait a minute, I thought we're not under the law but under grace. Well, there is the law of Christ, and the law of Christ is love one another. Well, how do I do that? Here's one way. Bear each other's burdens. Share the troubles that they're going through. Last week we saw from Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. This is really what empathy is. It's understanding where a person is at and walking beside them. And when things are going great, we rejoice with them. But when things are tough, we're there even to weep with them. So as followers of Christ, we are called to compassionate, even sacrificial service to others. We are called to care for the brokenhearted. Living with compassion means to be moved, deeply moved, by the pain of others. Engaging at a point of human connection, not shying away from the complexities of guilt and pain, and sometimes even anger bordering on rage. There's an awful lot of emotions that people experience, and we need to be able to get in there and walk with them and to share those burdens. But we've got to be careful because we run the risk of this compassion fatigue or this burnout that can take place if we're not careful. That leads us to a couple of specific problems that empathy can lead to when it's not done correctly. One is exhaustion. The other is enmeshment. You've probably heard of one, not the other. But let's take a look at each one. Exhaustion can happen physically, can happen mentally, it can happen emotionally, and it can happen spiritually. Whenever we drain our resources to the point that we just can't go on, in any one of those areas, we're exhausted. We've used up the energy. If you give and 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 you give, eventually you'll give out because there's nothing left. As human beings, we have finite mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual resources. And if all we do is give, there's going to come an end to our energy. When that happens, when we become exhausted, it leads to us feeling overwhelmed. There's no way out. I can't do this anymore. It leads to a diminished enthusiasm and joy. I know for people in the ministry, at least the vast majority that I'm aware of, they're not in it for the money. They're not in it for anything except the joy that it brings. And there is. There's an amount of joy in serving the Lord. There's an amount of satisfaction in serving others. And that's great, but when you get exhausted, you're really not feeling it. And many people are just going through the motions. They're doing what they got to do, but it's very mechanical because they're not feeling any of that enthusiasm or joy. We can become cynical, even to the point of being jaded. We can become very negative. We can even become apathetic toward others. We hear something that's happened in a person's life and it does nothing to us. It just seems like we don't care. And it isn't that we don't care, we can't care, because there's nothing inside of us to give. It's what happens when we get exhausted. That can follow or be followed by a diminished sense of accomplishment. We don't feel like we're doing any good. The only thing that we focus on are the negatives. Yeah, I mean, there's always negatives, right? And that can even lead to diminished productivity. Because if you're just mailing it in long enough, it's going to show. There's two examples of this that come to mind in Scripture. The first is in Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. Moses is leading the Israelites in the wilderness. And he gets a visit from his father-in-law named Jethro. And in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13, it says, "The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for all the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening." All day, this is what Moses did. When his father-in-law saw that Moses was what Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." That's a good answer, right? Moses is doing a good thing here. He's being a leader. He's letting people know what God's will is on these certain areas. He's deciding between people that are disputing, right? That's a good thing. Verse 17, Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good." And I'm sure Moses thought, "Really? What are you talking about? This is my job. This is what God called me to do. Of course this is good." And his father-in-law says, "No, it is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." What's he saying? You're going to burn out. You're going to get exhausted. It's too much for you to carry it alone. And that's something that many of us need to hear. Now you might be thinking, "Well, I get it with Moses, because boy, those Israelites were a trip, right? I mean, they're constantly, you know, complaining and moaning and groaning. That'd wear anybody out, right?" But it's not just the difficult ones that can cause exhaustion. Ministry success can be exhausting as well. For that, I would turn to the prophet Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we read of Elijah taking on the prophets of Baal, right? These are the prophets of an idol that are employed by the queen. State-run religion, you might say. And here's little old Elijah, and he's taken on 450 prophets of Baal. He says, "Hey, let's have a contest. We'll have a contest between the two gods, Yahweh and Baal. And we'll each make a sacrifice, and let's say the God that answers by fire, he's really God. Now, the Baal prophets are thinking, oh man, this is great because Baal is the God of fire. It's like he's playing right into our hands. This is awesome. And then Elijah says, you go first. And they prepare their sacrifice, but you know, nothing happens. And then Elijah prepares his sacrifice, and he asks it to be drenched in water. You know, it's like the last thing you want to do if you want something burned up, right? He kneels down, he prays a simple prayer, and God immediately sends fire that not only burns up the sacrifice, but it licks up all the water as well. And the people of Israel say, Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. And they put those 450 false prophets to death. What a victory for Elijah. I mean, that'd be the top of his resume, right? Very next chapter. Chapter 19, you see Elijah running for his life. And in verse 4, says he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Seriously? You just had the victory of your life. Now you're asking to die? Yeah. He was exhausted. He had run 18 miles after that victory. He outran the king's chariot. Yeah, I get, you know, some of that's supernatural, but that's going to exhaust someone physically. Now he's on the run emotionally because the queen threatened his life. And he's just spent. He's done. Ready to die. Take me now. Even Jesus felt exhaustion. We read several times in the scriptures where he was tired. You say, how could the Son of God be tired? Because he's human. And as a human being, he accepted the limitations of the human body and the human mind. You need rest. You need relaxation. You need to be restored. And there were times when Jesus was exhausted. Remember the time when he's walking from one place to another and there's always crowds around him and some woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment and he could feel the energy flow from him? He did not have, as a human being, an inexhaustible amount of physical energy. He needed time to rest. There were times when even Jesus was exhausted. And that's one of the problems you get into when it comes to this burnout, this compassion fatigue. The second is called enmeshment. That's probably not a term we're as familiar with. It's defined as a condition in which two or more people are involved in each other's activities and personal relationships to an excessive degree. That's the key. This has taken it too far, to an excessive degree, thus limiting or precluding healthy interaction and compromising individual autonomy and identity. It's getting too close. It's getting to where not only are we walking with someone, we become them, and their problems are my problems. Their emotions are my emotions. We get dragged down in with them. In trying to help, we not only fail to help them, but we put ourselves at risk. That's what is meant by enmeshment. When we become so emotionally involved with another person's woes, we lose our own perspective. We may lose sleep because of what someone else is going through. We can't do our own job because all we can think about is what somebody else is dealing with. When you can't shut it off, that's empathy gone too far. Yes, we are to feel with them. We are to think with them. We are to walk in their shoes, so to speak. But at some point, we need to put our own shoes back on and get on with life. If we're dealing with someone that is depressed, empathy does not mean you get depressed with them. Because now you've got two people that are depressed that can't help each other. So, as we are practicing empathy, we have to maintain a healthy detachment. Yes, I feel for them, but I am not them. Yes, they've got a problem. They're dealing with a real burden, but it is not mine. I can try to help them, but I can't take it for them. And that's where it really becomes a problem. And I'll be honest with you, that's where a lot of people in my profession get into trouble. I'm going to take the problem for them, and I'm going to fix it. There is only one person who can do that. His name is Jesus. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. But if we get this idea that I'm going to save people from their problems, I'm going to save them from themselves, we get a Messiah complex. Problem with a Messiah complex is it don't fit. And we might try, and we might think that we're going to fix this person. We may not say it like that, but that's really what it is. And we get sucked into it ourselves. And now we become overwhelmed. Now we need rescued. There's got to be an element of balance. We can become emotionally and even physically drained by caring too much. That's the problem of enmeshment. It's a problem we need to avoid. So what can I do about it? Well, I want to conclude this morning with what I'm calling the prevention of extinction. I know that word's a little bit strong, but I think it fits. Because if we're not careful, we might become extinct. At least our effectiveness can be. We can get to the point where we're not only not good for anybody else, we're no good for ourselves. And I want to go back to another verse in that passage that Carl read earlier, Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And that's the problem with burnout and compassion fatigue. We want to give up. We want to quit. And when we quit, then what? If you think that in order to do good, you have to wear yourself out, you've got a wrong idea of doing good. If you think empathy means you get so involved in that other person's life that you can't tell the difference between them and you, and their problems become your problems, and you think you're there to save them, that's not empathy. That's something completely different. And it will exhaust you. And it will take you to the point where you just are ready to pitch it all, walk away. Bruce Parmenter, who for many years was a professor over at Lincoln, he writes, "We need to care for ourselves as well as for others. Self-care requires a break from empathy, a time when you're empathetic to yourself." Now, I would be honest, first time I read that, I thought, that sounds an awful lot like being selfish, right? Oh, I'm caring more about me than anybody else. But I don't think it is. It really is not selfishness. It's intelligence. It's something that we talked about a couple weeks ago called oxygen mask theology, right? Anytime that you're on an airplane, before you take off and the stewardess or steward is telling you all this stuff that nobody listens to, right? In the remote possibility of a loss of cabin pressure, a door above you will open and a mask will drop down. And you are to put it over your nose and your mouth and you're to breathe normally. Yeah, like that's going to happen. But what they say after that is, if you have small children or people who need your assistance, put your mask on first. And that goes against the paternal instincts of everybody. If I've got children, my children, of course I'm going to make sure that they get their mask on first. No. You put your mask on first. You say, why? Because if you pass out, who's going to help them? And there's a lot of truth to that for our emotional well-being, our spiritual well-being. We have to be strong enough before we can help somebody else. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, we are not going to be able to do what we should do in being empathetic to others. Many times when a person suffers from burnout or compassion fatigue, it's not even that they're doing it wrong. They're just not refilling their own resources. They're not refreshing themselves. They're not getting rest. They're not recharging their own batteries, so to speak. So they may be doing the right thing, just like Moses was doing the right thing. He was just doing it too much. And sometimes we can become weary in doing good. What we're doing is right, but it's out of balance. And that's how we prevent ourselves from becoming extinct. We have got to maintain balance. Remember Elijah sitting under a broom tree saying, oh God, take my life. An angel shows up. And he doesn't smack Elijah across the head and say, hey, knucklehead, get up. What's wrong with you? God realized what Elijah needed at that moment was a nap and a good meal. Read it. It's there. He went, he fell asleep. When he woke up, there was a meal prepared. He ate and he fell asleep again. He was exhausted. He wasn't done. God wasn't done using him. He was just to that point of exhaustion. What he needed was to take care of himself. And then he could take care of others. Physical refreshment can do a world of good for our emotional and spiritual perspective. Sometimes we need to take an emotional break as well as a physical break. One writer even calls this an emotional Sabbath. If you're involved in some kind of a ministry, you've got to have at least one day where you're off the clock. One day when somebody else can take that phone call or somebody else can take that responsibility. That's essential. And I can say that because I learned it the hard way. I went for a long, long time thinking, oh, I don't need a day off. I thought I was some kind of Superman. Yeah, not a chance. Cape didn't fit. And I have days where I'm not dealing with that today. If it's an emergency, we've got elders who will step in and take that role. That's great. That's the way it ought to be. I usually, when I can, I realize there are exceptions, but there are few. I limit my engagements with people to between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., unless it's a really, really serious emergency. Why? Because I need rest. Physically, mentally, emotionally, the whole nine yards. I've had to learn how to say no. Man, that's tough. When it's something you can do, and you know that if you do it, you're going to help somebody, and you think like, well, every time somebody asks, I got to say yes. You're a prime candidate to burnout. Learn to say no. Believe it or not, God has other people in the body of Christ that can fill that role. We got to be careful that we don't get that Messiah complex on ourselves and think, I'm the Savior. No, you're not. You're a tool in the toolbox that God uses, but there are a lot of other tools too. And I've learned that if somebody calls and says, can you do this? And I say, I'm sorry, I can't. Somebody else does. Amazing how that happens. I'm not nearly as indispensable as I'd like to think I am. We need to set boundaries. We need to delegate. That was what Jethro ended up telling Moses back in Exodus 19. You know, he starts out by saying, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you, you're going to wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone. And then he said, listen to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the laws and decrees. Show them the way to live and the duties that they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, and they can bring the difficult cases to you. The simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. If he were saying that today, he'd say, you won't burn out. And everybody gets their needs met. We're not ignoring people. It's just that I don't have to do it all. Because God doesn't expect any of us to do it all. And then we need to establish and maintain a personal support system. If we find ourselves carrying others' burdens a lot, we need to find those who will help us carry ours. Even in the act of empathizing, we need those to whom we can unload what we've heard. And that's something that ministers and counselors, a lot of them have their own counselors. When they go through a really difficult situation, I know in the fire service they call it debriefing, where we set everybody down and we go over it and we talk about it. And we get not just what happened, but how are we feeling? What's going on inside? We need that, but so do the ones in the role of ministry too. And even as a Christian who is empathetic toward others, you need somebody who cares about you. You need somebody to whom you can pour out your life and they can help you. That's the balance. Yes, we give, but we must receive. We need to have our resources refreshed. Now, that's humbling. It's humbling to admit, I can't do it alone. I can't do it all. But we need that. We need to be reminded that it isn't all about me. We need to have others that'll help us. Empathy can be extremely helpful to others. It can be exhausting to ourselves. I know people, I'd rather wear out than rust out. You know what? Either way, you're out. You don't have to do either one. We can maintain a balance within ourselves. I do believe God will use us to our maximum of effectiveness. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We all need to find our rest in him. And then as we are refreshed, we're going to be ready to help others. That applies to the caregiver as well as the care receiver. And we've got to remember that at one time or another, we're going to be on both sides of that equation.